conversation that we're about to have with the wonderful Tony Clark, CEO and founder of Backpack Beds. Tony, welcome to The Social Frequency.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Amazing. All right, Tony, I think let's just ask the most obvious question to start off with. What is Backpack Beds?
Well, Backpack Beds for Homeless is a national homeless agency that works with 1,100 agencies who deal with folks sleeping on the street. Now, they help us by distributing our award-winning and study-proven backpack bed, hence Backpack Bed for Homeless. And you're asking, what is a backpack bed? Well, it's a very ergonomic, lightweight, at only 2.9 kilos, yet it has a capacity of 135 litres. It's four seasons, so winter, summer, it could be snowing, it could be raining. It's fire retardant. It's got a built-in mattress built into it as well. And it keeps folks alive while waiting for some sort of suitable shelter, and in particular, folks sleeping on our streets. Mm. That's the backpack bed.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. You said that a bit of research went into creating the bed. What did that look like?
A lot of research happened to happen.
Yeah.
Traditionally, before the backpack bed, people were just handing out ad hoc ideas. I've seen some really zany things which are undignified. Governments wouldn't hand them out. And they are just, it just breaks the heart of people who are in a dire situation. Mm. And, when I started the organization, I'd never been homeless or anything of that nature, but we decided to think logically. If we were homeless, if I was homeless, even Jesus himself was homeless, what would we need? Well, we'd need a backpack to carry our gear. It needs to be quite large, so 135 litre capacity is quite good. Mm-hmm. And you need a bed to sleep in. So we've created a built-in shelter with three windows, built-in mattress, fire retardant, and it rolls up into a backpack. And it's won a lot of awards. So that's the backpack bed, how we came to a design, how would we want to be treated.
Yeah.
And so we designed it to be everything that we would need.
Yeah, very cool. Oh, that's wonderful, Tony. I'd love to talk a little bit more about how one starts such an organization. For anyone out there who's into community development or anything like that, how did the journey go and what are some pointers?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
People are always trying to find a way of how can I make an impact in the community? And sometimes the best way is just to get to know your neighbours and just look around and see what needs to be done and then do it.
Mm.
And rather than complaining about it, just find a solution for it. So, the idea for Backpack Bed for Homeless, I had the idea when I was sitting in church and it just popped into my head and I went, oh yeah, that's a good idea. Now at the time, I was a very successful entrepreneur in IT. And we had global clients and ASX listed clients. And I came home, my wife thought it was nuts. And we decided, what if we were homeless, what would we need? So we came up with the backpack bed. And it wasn't an easy journey.
Mm.
It wasn't easy. So when you're doing something to really make an impact and to really change the way the public and the way homeless agencies themselves see people sleeping on the street, you are going to get opposition. So if you want to do something simple, of course, volunteer at a charity and just do something to help that charity because they need help. But if you want to do something incredibly impacting that needs radical change in the community, be ready for a hard journey. There's no such thing as an overnight success.
Yeah.
You have to know what you're doing. You have to be prepared to have multiple skill sets, wearing multiple hats. You literally have to do everything. And if it is to be, it will be up to you.
Mm.
And in our case, thankfully, being an IT entrepreneur, doing marketing and photography and development and IT and all of those skills were perfect, just so happens to do this project. So when you do look for something, do something that fits your skill sets. and also potentially something that'll extend your skill sets and just push your mind a little bit. So in my case, I had to suddenly become a textile engineer. So I designed all these different textiles and fabrics, which military fabric factories have to make because they're just so hard to make. And so you've got to be passionate, otherwise you will lose your steam and your passion.
And I imagine it kind of just feels like a responsibility for you, right, Tony? Like, I'm studying social work and it's just kind of my calling, right? I sort of have no choice but to help people. Is that sort of how it's been for you?
It is. It really is. And, you know, I heard somebody say, you know, the worst thing you can do on this life that you're doing on this planet is to do something that doesn't matter. And so helping people is addictive. It is really exciting, but at the same time, you also will be exposed to a lot of sadness and pain. But it's an honor. It's an honor to be able to help people in sadness and pain so as they can get back on their feet and rebuild themselves. The folks that are doing it tough on the street, I mean, the housing crisis is real. It has exploded. You're seeing it in Geelong. And what's horrible, it's people in their 50s and 60s that are increasing. We've got a 63-year-old disabled pensioner. No drinking, no drugs, no alcohol, no wife, no pets, no gambling. He sleeps upright. He's disabled. He has been on the street for over 18 months. And we've pushed politicians and done all sorts of stuff, but there is just nothing. So it's really horrific, and you've got to be strong on the inside to do it and really believe that there is a nightmare on the streets that people just are not aware of. So I encourage you, keep on doing it. It is an honour to help people.
Very wise words. You tapped into something that I'd love to follow on a bit more. What do you think needs to happen? You know, obviously the backpack bed, it's kind of like the band-aid to the wound, right, where we're kind of coming in after the fact. What do you think, which is very important, of course, but what do you think needs to happen in terms of prevention to sort of stop people even needing the backpack bed altogether?
Sure. Well, that's a big question. So, first of all, to not need a backpack bed, okay, we need proper economics. And we're looking at the newspapers and it's a complete nightmare. And everybody knows it. And the only people that don't know it are the politicians who, Albanese hasn't even worked for real people, hasn't even had a business himself. He wouldn't have a clue. He's just all hearsay. This is my understanding and my personal view, and everyone knows it. So the point that I'm making is that we need security. We need good economics, but also we need a lot more love. We need a lot more love in the community. And with love, we'll be able to help people before they fall. And we need to be addicted to helping people and loving people more so than watching the latest TV series on Netflix or the latest movie. We need to talk to our neighbours, have a barbecue, go out there, talk to people, etc. And if everybody did that, the world would be a better place. Now, as a second level, yes, of course, we need more housing and we need more of that because, look, elephant in the room. Not everyone has an IQ of a million. Some people just have difficulty. Some people are on medication. Some people can't cope. Some people were normal. Some people then had an accident. Some people's wife or husband passed away and they just can't get themselves together. Some people, we just need to have the ability to help everybody. And that's how you judge a community. Can I help the person, the least of the least, the person that's really struggling? Can I help them the most? That's how we're judged. And so we have to show love, not judgment, to folks. Now, when it comes to if you do end up being homeless, well, here's a novel idea. If you can't build houses overnight, 50,000, 100,000 houses overnight, well, it's immoral to not have an interim crisis solution. You need to have something, a policy. So the backpack bed, it's study proven. It's used by 1,100 agencies. It's endorsed by more board members and more CEOs around the country than there are politicians. Mm. Politicians are outnumbered. Mm-hmm. So the politicians need to start listening to the people and the social workers that are on the front line. They know what works. And it needs to be mandatory. Mm. It needs to match human rights, the right to dignity, the right to shelter, the right to have privacy. And if you can't get that, well, you need to have something, and that's called a backpack bed. So it needs to be mandatory. If you're homeless, that's not a good situation. Here you go, sir. Here you go, miss. Here's a backpack bed. I'm sorry that we don't have any accommodation, but it's better than sleeping in the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
It's better. Mm-hmm. So it's a two-pronged scenario as to what structural level of change is needed. To help Australia.
I think truer words have never been said, Tony. You mentioned, so you kind of touched on distributing the backpack beds. How did you go about making the connections with the homelessness shelters to be able to get the actual beds out there to the people?
That's a really good question. Well, you may recall I highlighted at the beginning that we had to change how people and how agencies treat people sleeping on the street.
Mm-hmm.
There is that whole scenario of you're a homeless person sleeping on the street and you should be grateful for anything, including the dented can of asparagus or the Mickey Mouse Disneyland blanket, which wouldn't keep anyone alive outside. But, you know, you should be grateful that you've got it. Now, this is where we come into a level of, you know, how are you expecting someone on the street doing it tough, who's suicidal, who needs medication, who is sick and is losing hope day by day, when you are just giving them stuff that's not equipment that keeps them alive? People know what they need to stay alive. People are not designed to sleep in the outdoors with no shelter. They die.
Mm.
They die. We know this, they die, because paramedics in Australia tell us they pick up dead bodies and they describe what a hypothermic dead homeless person looks like. Mm. It happens in our streets. And you can bet it's happened in Geelong.
Mm.
So we need to, you know, have this logic that if you want to stay alive, you need the right equipment. And you can't have a Disneyland blanket or insulation stuck together with sticky tape rolled into a roll with cut bike ties, which used to be handed out by the hundreds by the major charities. And then we came along and said, what are you doing? You can't hand out that. And we ask them, would you sleep in it? And they say no. So I said, what are you doing? And then you talk to the homeless person who receives it and they go, I feel like an animal.
Yeah.
So it was slowly but surely
changing the attitudes. Yeah.
We changed the attitude.
Mm.
And you know who our biggest fans were and how we spread so quick?
Who?
The people sleeping on the street, doing it tough.
Mm.
They would come to their agency and say, hey, my mate's got one, I need one, can you help me, can you help me?
Mm.
And the agency then goes, well, what is it? And then they contact us and then it then develops from there.
Mm. And, you know, they're the voices that we need to listen to, right? The people who are actually living these realities. Tony, how can people access a backpack bed, not just as someone who wants to use one or needs to use one, sorry, but the organisations to be able to distribute them?
Sure. So if you are doing it tough on the street, sleeping on the street, one, go to your local agency and tell them about the backpack bed, and they'll probably have either handed it out or they just call us and then we try to get them into the system. Now, if you are a person who's listening to this this interview and you go, wow, this is a complete nightmare, people are dying on Geelong streets, which they are, and they are suffering, the best way to help these people is to help your locals.
Mm.
Now, you're in Geelong, I believe.
Mm-hmm, that's right, yeah.
That's right. So we ran a campaign called goodnightgeelong.org.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to goodnightgeelong.org, you'll you'll see that there is a plan for Geelong. And on that plan, it started off with an anonymous donation, and that funded 34 backpack beds.
Great.
That means 34 souls in Geelong getting help. Since that happened, it's now up to 71 backpack beds. So we got 71. But we actually need, for the year, we need over 200 backpack beds for Geelong. Mm. So if you want to help your local community, you go to Good Night Geelong, and backpack beds will be distributed by The Outpost, which is an amazing group in Geelong.
Yeah, they're great.
They just do amazing things with just nothing. And so they need to be helped. And so we need 222 backpack beds for Geelong, but we're only up to our goal of 71. Now, here's the kicker. If you're wanting to donate, you want bang for your buck. Well, guess what? It's going to go to Geelong. But number two, a study proved that a backpack bed independent study, where the largest consulting company came along and said, Tony, we love your work. I said, I want to know what the value of a backpack bed is to a taxpayer. Mm-hmm. They said it was $3,319 in health, justice and employment costs.
Yeah.
Now, that was in 2018. Since then, I've had mayors and experts just laugh and laugh because they know it's well over 100 plus thousand. So as we speak, that same consulting company is updating it with using government figures, and we will have an astronomical figure coming out. But so far, 71 backpack beds in Geelong. We need 222. And so far, we've saved Geelong taxpayers $235,000. So the more backpack beds you do in your community, the more you're going to save. Each backpack bed is $150. It's won lots of global awards. It's sitting in museums. You get the idea, and it's going to help your local people who are doing it tough.
Amazing. Oh, well, you heard the man. Go to goodnightgeelong.org. Put your money where your ears are, I suppose, in this situation. Tony, thank you so much for coming on The Social Frequency, and thank you for all of the wonderful work that you do.
And you too. You guys do amazing stuff. So well done. Blessings to everybody. Thank you again.
Thank you, Tony. It's been such a pleasure to put backpack beds on the program and really just highlight the wonderful work that Tony and his crew are doing. Okay, it's 5:40 p.m. We're going to listen to some sponsorship announcements.